Thanks for tuning in to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that you're blessed and encouraged to walk out the gospel as you listen to this message.
So I have to say something really quick, a stirring of the Lord that I felt this morning, and that is that the Lord is building up the spirit within us. Okay, whatever we're doing here at Hope, whether we have a quip or no matter what is happening with the pandemic, we are here to equip our spirit. And the Lord reminded me today that it wasn't a weapon. It wasn't the horses. It wasn't the chariots. It wasn't anything in the physical. It's not our fists that are going to bring you victory. It's not the words that you type on the screen that's going to bring you victory. I tell you what's going to bring you victory is the Spirit of God within you. And so what he told me this week was that was not a rod that Moses held up. That rod didn't part the Red Sea. It wasn't those stones that David picked up. Those stones were just rocks. It wasn't that killed that giant. But I tell you what was, and that was the Spirit of God. And it reminded me of the story that I was telling my friends this past weekend of when I was 7 years old, I was at the Lake of the Ozarks where my grandmother lived, and we were on her front porch, which was a two-story, so we're on the top story. And how you look at, when you look out, you see a little house in front of her and then the lake behind her. Behind that house. And so I was sitting there with my grandma and my mom and dad and my aunt and uncle. And I remember my grandma getting up and positioning herself. And she said, "Boys, I'm going to need you to go over there and kill that copperhead." Now, I have seen snakes and I have been to the zoo and I have never seen a copperhead this big. I don't know if it was pregnant with quads. I don't know, but it was huge. And the only other snake that I saw bigger than this was some python at the zoo. So in my little 7-year-old mind, I'm like, that thing is huge. And so what happened was my dad and my uncle kind of looked at each other and I felt the presence from them that said, a snake that we do not bother is a snake that doesn't bother us is a snake that we do not bother. It's kind of what they were saying. And so my grandma said, "Boys, I'm going to need you to go over there and kill that snake." And they said, "We're not going to do it." So I turned around and there she heads off. And she grabs a hold of her red plastic broom, okay? And so what happens is as she is stepping down the stairs, going to across the little way there, she starts speaking in tongues. And I tell you what, something in my 7-year-old self came to attention, and I was like, that thing is gonna die. Because she no longer looked like a grandma in a house coat. I'll tell you what, she had the Spirit of God within her, and she was like, that snake is going to die. And so she went over and she whacked that thing on the head. And then she whacked it again, and she whacked it again, and whack, whack, whack. And then she came back with her broom intact. And I was like, whoa, who is this woman? Whatever she has, I want. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't the stones. It wasn't the broom. It was a place inside of her that said, that snake is not coming on my property, so somebody's going to kill it. And if it's not going to be you men, it's going to be me. And there's sometimes where the Spirit of God is within us that says, your fist is not going to win your battle. Your words on Facebook and Instagram are not going to win your battle, but the battle is going to be won when you take care of the spirit that's within you and you feed it and you worship and you read the word and you continue to feed your spirit, because he's calling you to pray and he's calling you to do things that you never thought he would do, but it's not going to be won in the natural. Can I get an amen with that? That is not even my sermon. So that was a little nugget for you this morning. I want to talk about a beautiful story in Luke 2 about two people that I think are just, their stories are just so beautiful. I want to talk about Simeon and Anna. And the Lord dropped this in my heart this week, and I kind of wrestled with it a little bit. I'm going to be honest, but I just gave in and said yes. So that was a good yes. In Luke 2, verse 25, that's where I want to start. And I'm going to kind of jump around because I like to make these two people into a story. Because it's a beautiful story. So in Luke 2, 25 through 26, it said, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Let's jump down to Luke 2, verse 36. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years. There's that word again, advanced in years. Having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting, prayer, night and day. I love this story because there was Anna, married for 7 years, and then became a widow. And she was a widow for about 60 years. A vulnerable member to society, no one was there to provide for her financially or even give her a home. But she was so abandoned to God that God was her husband, the temple was her home, and her occupation was praying. And she decided that she was going to give herself to praying and fasting. And though she walked in the outer courts of the temple all those years, she was never allowed into the inner courts. So I want to give you a little history lesson here. So Solomon built the first temple. Zerubbabel built the second temple when the Jews returned from captivity from Babylon. And then Herod the Great built the temple where Anna worshiped. So Herod's temple had 4 courts. The outer court was known as the court of the Gentiles. And that was the only place where non-Jews were allowed to come. And that was also the place where we read where Jesus went in and he turned over the tables because they were buying and selling. The inner court was divided into 2 sections. One section was called the women's court, and that's where Anna prayed. And the other side was the court of Israel. Now get this. Both Jewish women and men could enter into the women's court, but only Jewish men could enter into the court of Israel. And so even though customs and culture of that time restricted her worship, it did not stop her devotion. It didn't stop her love for God. And for 60 years, she never left the court, but worshiped day and night, praying and fasting. During that particular day when she was there worshiping, Mary and Joseph were bringing their baby Jesus to be presented at the temple. And while she was praying, she could hear a loud prayer of thanksgiving. And she recognized that voice because I believe she knew that that voice was Simeon. Simeon was holding the baby Jesus, and he said in Luke 29, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Like Anna, Simeon had given his life, and he wanted nothing more than Israel's consolation and for the Messiah to come and redeem his people. Though Simeon and Anna had not yet seen, they both believed. Anybody there? You have not seen, but yet you're still gonna believe. And then Simeon handed the baby back to his mother. And verse 34, it says this: "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your soul too." And Anna hears that, and this is what it says in verse 38. She began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Anna's abandonment to God, the one that she spent all of her days and all of her nights fasting and praying to, you guys, she was rewarded by meeting and seeing the baby Jesus just 40 days after he was born. These two people that were advanced in years, their heart's desire was to not only see with their eyes, but know that the prophecy that they knew and heard of was actually true, and God granted what they asked. When I read this chapter, I think of 3 things. And the first thing is God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. I love to talk about God's faithfulness. I can talk about God's power. I can talk about his healing. I can talk about signs and wonders, but there's something about the faithfulness of God that gets me right in the gut and it makes me start crying every time. We can sing a song about it. I'm a mess. We can, somebody tell me a story about his faithfulness. I feel it in my throat. When somebody comes and tells me and sings a song, or they've made up a song about his faithfulness, my nose starts twitching, because you know the sinuses are, it's coming. It's like the tears are like, we're coming. And I'm like, hold it. And the tears are like, we're coming. And I'm like, okay, come. So this week, I was at a funeral for my friend's father-in-law who had passed away. And as we were standing there, it was such a sweet service to remember all the things that he had done. And so they played this song. And of course, when it started playing, I was like, oh, give me a tissue. I looked at my friend. I'm like, give me a tissue. It's coming. It's coming. Because the song said, this is my anthem. This is my song. The theme of these stories I've heard for so long. God has been faithful and he will be again. All of his loving compassion, it knows no end. All I have needed, his hand will provide. He has always been faithful to me. You guys, our Father who has been faithful to you and to me will continue to be faithful. I am so thankful for his faithfulness. I remember all that he has done for my family, for Josh's family, for my parents, for my grandparents, for my children. There are prayers that I have prayed that no one knew about, that only God knew about, and he was faithful to bring it forth in front of my eyes, even though nobody was around to know it. He has been faithful to me, and the Father that promised Anna and Gideon, not Gideon, Simeon, to see the coming of the Lord, he promises you too, and he is faithful. This beautiful passage of how God was faithful to those two people, he showed them right at the same time that their prayers were going to be answered. So the first thing is faithfulness. The second thing is I want to talk about commitment. Anna was committed to praying. Simeon was committed to prayer. Anna's story shows me a woman that took a stance. Not a stand, but a stance. A stance is a position that you take no matter how you feel. A stance is a position that you hold no matter what you see or what you don't see. A stance is rooted and grounded in the word. And so as she was there at the temple and she is praying and she is seeking and she is fasting, she has taken a stance that no matter how she felt, no matter how many years it took until she saw the Messiah, she believed she was going to see it. Committing to prayer was something that the nation of Israel was accustomed to do 3 times a day. That was their regular prayer lifestyle. David prayed 3 times a day. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The early church cultivated a life of prayer. In Acts, Peter and John were going to the temple at the hour of prayer when they healed the lame man at the gate beautiful. Peter went to the rooftop to pray. The early church came together and broke bread to pray daily. This past January, our church, we did 21 days of fasting. And I'll tell you what, that took determination, okay? Some of you, that was the first time you've ever fasted. Some of you, that was the first time that you prayed 21 consecutive days. I got to tell you, guys, we haven't even begun to see what we sowed in doing that from January. Pandemic or not, we took ground and we are going to see what we did from January's fast. But I got to tell you, you took a stance and you held that position and said for 21 days, I am going to fast and pray and seek God no matter how good that coffee smells. Right? I am going to take a stance for 21 days and I'm going to pray and fast no matter how those sweet buns, no matter how those cinnamon rolls smell. I back that right up. I'm glad we caught that online. That's going to be a great memory right there. So you took a stance and said, I don't care how good those cinnamon rolls smell or those cider donuts or that hamburger or those fries. I am going to fast and pray. I am taking a stance because I want to see results. And even if I don't see them this month, I am going to see them. And you took a stance because you rooted. You got rooted. You got grounded in him. Recently, when we committed to 30 minutes for 30 days last month, for some of you, that took perseverance. Telling you, 30 minutes in a day when you have a list a mile long of things that you've got to do, you guys, that takes taking a stance. And you just said, I'm going to set aside time. No matter how long that list is, no matter how much I have to do, I am going to put him first and I am going to spend time with him. Guys, it's no easy task for a lifestyle of prayer. It takes perseverance, it takes determination, it takes commitment, and it takes inner tenacity to take a stand and say, I am going to spend time with him. I am going to make it a priority above everything else in my life. It should be the norm, you know, to be involved in continual prayer. Corporately, individually, the church's biblical purpose for existing is to become a house of prayer, meaning we play a part in it. Not just here in this place and on this property, but in your home. You are a part of the church, and it is to be a house of prayer. In Hebrews 12:11, it says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Ouch. Who wrote that scripture? But this is what it says. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Maturity is accepting that sometimes we do things that we don't want to do in order to serve a bigger picture. And I believe that the Lord is saying, it's time. It's time to start feeding on that little nibble. It's time for you to eat what I have laid out before you and come in deeper and come in stronger. One of my favorite verses is Jeremiah 33:3. It says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. My favorite version says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know. I love the mystery of God. I love the wonder of God. And it says, if you call to him, he's going to show you. He is not a liar. But I'm telling you, it takes the asking. And it's not just, let's ask him on the way to church on Sunday. It's a continual pursuit of asking. I believe that God wants to reveal his plans and will to those who pray for his will to be revealed. I want my prayers to be more effective now and in the future than they were in my past. I really do. And that takes commitment. That takes real commitment. When I was around 23, I felt the Lord ask me to make prayer and fasting part of my lifestyle. I had just graduated college and I just moved to Springfield and started my job here. And he, in one of my times alone with him, said, I want you to make it a priority to pray and fast. Now, I had never done that, but what I did know is that he didn't give me an end date. That is one thing I do remember, because I was like, are we talking a day? We can commit a day. Are we talking a meal? I would love to. No. But what happened was, I loved him so much that this didn't come from a place of striving. It didn't come from a place of fear, but it came from a place of relationship. And I knew the Lord from way back in my childhood, and I was so hungry for him that when he asked me to join him in doing that, my answer was yes. And it wasn't because he made me do it. It wasn't because I felt fear that if I said no, he was going to punish me. There was something inside my spirit that I knew that if I did, it was going to be a great adventure. And so what happened was, instead of me just being like, yeah, I guess, I literally felt like, it is my honor, Jesus. It is my honor, Lord, that I will fast and pray for you. I have no idea what I'm doing, but it is my honor. It is my honor that you asked me. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know which meal. I don't know what stuff. I don't know any of it, but you asked me, and my answer is yes. And that is what I did. In the midst of my busy life, in the midst of church and working, I wasn't married at the time. I didn't have kids at the time. I was here, down here on my own. But in the midst of that, I cultivated a place with me and him in the secret place that I look back and I'm like, I never regretted that. Never regretted. When I got married, it was so interesting. I felt like the Lord brought this back to me this week. But when I got married and Josh and I were standing up there, and we were in front of our family and our friends and our people. And I made a commitment to this man. I made a commitment to this man. But most importantly, I made a commitment to that man. Because that, before my husband came and before my children came and before my career came and before I ended up graduating college and before there were prayers that were answered and before I saw signs and miracles, I made a commitment to my first love that whatever he asked, I was going to do because I love him and he's just that good. I feel him calling us today. I feel an invitation so great for this church, but not only for Hope Church, but for his people, that he is saying, I want you to commit to me. There is a way that is going to move the mountain. There is a way that is going to move that mountain and that thing that is in your way. There is a way to come close to me, and that is through daily prayer. Daily prayer, continual prayer, not just when Hope Church announces when we're praying. I felt that in my bones. Oh, not just when we put it out that we're going to pray. It is daily for you because there's places he wants to take you and things he wants to reveal to you. The third thing is an assignment. The first was his faithfulness. Second thing was commitment, and the third was the assignment. Anna's life revolved around prayer. Anna prayed and worshiped through the promises of God, and she was waiting for God to move. But I got to tell you, she was actively waiting for God to move. She wasn't like, well, I prayed yesterday, so I'm just going to stay here and wait. She was actively praying daily, fasting daily, crying out daily for the coming Messiah. She lived under the cruel reign of Herod the Great. And those customs restricted her location. But no earthly regulation could stop her worship. It's true for us today, guys. Our current situation, no matter what's going on in the world, should not stop our devotion and our time with pursuing the Lord. Nor should our past mistakes or our sins. There should be nothing standing in the way. There was nothing standing in the way of her worshiping God and recognizing Jesus. And there should be nothing standing in the way from us worshiping God and recognizing Jesus. So as you're sitting there, I'm sure some of you are like, this is a great message, but it is about older people and widows. I won't look at any of you, but I have looked at some of you, so I know you're thinking this. But I want to tell you what, there's a greater call for all of us. He's calling stay-at-home moms. He's calling business leaders. He's calling stay-at-home dads. He is calling politicians, kings. He's calling doctors. He's calling kids. He's calling kids. that are going to go in their room and they're, for some reason, just like I did, I just opened the Bible and I was like, I'm just going to keep reading. I don't know why. I feel so called to this book and I'm just going to pray. Nobody's really taught me how to pray, but I'm just hungry. He's calling kids. He is calling teenagers. He is calling teenagers. He is pulling on their heart and he is saying, look, I'm raising up a generation. I am raising up a generation that is not going to fight with fists, but is going to fight with the fullness of the Spirit in their belly, and they are going to see victory in their day. That's what he's raising up, guys. He's calling young adults. He's calling marrieds. He's calling retired, the retired community. He's calling singles. He's calling everyone. He will cry out. He will call the rocks if we don't pick up, guys. Right? He is calling through creation, and somebody is going to stand up and praise his name. I want it to be us. Okay? Woo! I'm getting worked up. I got to calm it down. I knew that it was going to be a good day today for two reasons. Number one, I had a dream last night that as soon as the video of the announcements was over, I was coming and hit the bottom step, and I went blind. In my dream, I went blind. And so I was like, Olivia, help me up on the stage. Call your dad. Help him to come up here and read these scriptures. I'll just preach. I don't know what's going on. And so I woke up out of that dream and I'm like, okay, let's see. I'll make a plan just in case. So I know we're doing good because I can still see, okay? And second, I hopped in my car and I realized I forgot to get gas. And that never happens. So guys, I came in on fumes and then I played rattle, which is not a good thing. Cause I was like, I came in fast with no gas and I was here. So guys, two things that try to shut me down, try to take me out. It's good. We're good. Okay. So how do you cultivate that kind of life? You pray. The only way that you will be able to know him more is through prayer. That is it. It is it. The only way you will be able to hear or see is through prayer. There is a decision and a commitment that we must make, not out of striving, but out of a desire to know him. Constant prayer equals constant time with God. Constant prayer equals constant time with God. If you want some things to change, constant prayer equals constant time with God. If you want to know the mysteries of God, constant prayer equals constant time with God. This is where he will reveal himself to you, his will for you. It takes discipline. It takes perseverance. It takes a stance. During that time when I was in my 20s, I read a book about prayer from a pastor that he took it, man, to a whole new level. And it changed my life. He would set aside 3 times a day for prayer. And before he preached, he would pray for 3 hours. And then when he went around to his area or another country, he would pray 6 hours before he preached. And that book changed my life. It changed my life and it made me hungry for prayer. It made me hungry for prayer. So this is what I did. When I got here and the Lord called me into prayer and fasting as a 23-year-old, I said, where do you want me to go? And he said, I want you to get in your car. And so this is where I would go. I lived on this east side, and so I would drive Sunshine all the way out and then come around up Division and come down. And then I would come up to Battlefield, go all the way out, come around, come up Sunshine, go down Eastgate, go all the way down to Division, go back out to the back roads and come around. I would go up and I'm praying over homes. People I don't even know. I'm praying and blessing their marriage. I'm wondering if my husband's in there because I wasn't married at the time and I wasn't dating. So I was like, is he here? Lord, stop me. Stop me if he's here in one of these houses, Lord. I mean, if we're on a prayer hunt and we're on a prayer ride, let's get real. Like, where do I stop? What's his address? But I was like just seeking and praying. And I was like, bless this family. If they have children, if they can't have children, bless them, God, with a child. Lord, if they're not in church, I pray, God, for an encounter with the living God over here. And that's all I did. That's what I knew to do. And then when I started going to church down at Calvary Temple on Grand and Campbell, I moved to that territory. Lord, I pray that you open up this home. I pray that, Lord, like you would move on the hearts of your people. And then he changed my assignment. It wasn't just for the city. I started growing a heart for this place. It was my new home. He then changed it to several other things that I began to invest and pray in. And then when it was time and those were done, he gave me something else to pray for. And then I said, so when do you want me to fast? It wasn't an assignment from him. It was a relationship. This was a constant. And then I was like, do you really want me to fast lunch or can I like kind of sneak in a snack? There was a little bit of that going on. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I was a little bit new to this. So I'm like, are we really talking no meal? We talking water. He was like, yes, child, yes. So some he is asking in this next season. I know you completed what you did last month for your 30 minutes, but some he is asking for more than that. And I believe it's all of us. There's something inside of us that he is calling us to. Some he is asking to make fasting a part of your life. I read it somewhere that this is such a great quote. Fasting is the spiritual equivalent of an athlete working out at the gym. As you fast and see God's face, he will begin to plant an authority in you, born out of intimacy with him that the demonic will recognize and fear. I'm going to read that again because that is that good. So for those of you that are like, I don't want to fast, this is why we do what we do. Fasting is the spiritual equivalent of an athlete working out of the gym. Anybody work out at the gym? I am putting my hand down. I had my hand up and that was a lie. I put it down. I just wanted to see your hand. Okay. It is like working out at a gym. As you fast and see God's face, he will begin to plant an authority in you. Born out of the intimacy with him that the demonic will recognize and fear. So if you feel like you're constantly being attacked and you feel weak, it's time to fast. I'm just going to say it. It's time to fast and ask the Lord, what in the world is happening? Because you want an intimacy that is so inside of you that the demonic turn and they say, ho, we got to get out of here. She is serious. When we took that stance in January, fasting as a church, I feel like God is saying, I want you to make a commitment. I know that Hope also said as a church that we were doing 30 minutes for 30 days last month. But I believe that God is saying, I want it. I want you to step up. It's time to go higher. This isn't from a place of striving and it's not from a place of fear. But I got to tell you, my heart is for you that if you continue to go round and round in the same thing that you've been struggling with for 8, 9, 10 years, it's time for you to ask the Lord what you need to change and how you can go deeper in him. If you prayed for 30 minutes last month for 30 days, I just want to say increase it. It's just that simple. I have never, ever in my life ever heard somebody that I have known say, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have spent last month praying. I have never in my life from an adult or a child ever heard them say out of their mouth, oh man, I really wish I would not have fasted last month. But you know what I have heard? I've heard houses selling like that. I have heard marriages restored and literally they are helping other people who were in the place that they were helping them restore their marriages. I am hearing about healings taking place just last month for 30 minutes for 30 days, not even fasting. I'm telling you, God is doing something. Tyler, wherever you are, you could come. I don't even know how much time I have, but I'm just going about my way here. I tell you what, guys, prayer is the most powerful force on the earth. Prayer is the most powerful force on the earth. If you think about it, when we had the 45 here, which was praying for 45 hours, I felt the Lord put on my heart to pray for Cox South. That was just my assignment. And anytime we came or anytime we couldn't make it, that weekend that happened, I prayed over the hospitals. I prayed over the business all the way down to the patients, because prayer goes into a building. I have prayed and laid my hands when the kids opened up their wing and we went through and prayed for different things. I laid my hands on a country that I've never been to. But when I prayed, I know that my prayers went to that country. So if we believe that, and he is inviting us to do it more, what is holding you back? What is holding us back? I tell my girls, this is the thing, this book, his spirit goes with you wherever you go. Yes, get an education. I love education. Yes, get married. I love marriage. Yes, have children. I love children. Yes, have a career. I love a career. But let's get the word and the spirit in us, because that's the most important thing that you will ever carry with you wherever you go, guys. And when you do it, you will see the faithfulness like Anna and Simeon saw. You'll see his faithfulness when you commit and when you ask, God, what is my assignment? Would you guys stand? I'm going to ask my husband to come up here. After last month, when we were doing the 30 minutes, the Lord spoke to my heart separately from Josh. And he said, I want you to step in to another place of prayer and fasting. I don't want you to wait until January. I don't want you to wait until the church calls it. I want you to do it, and for this reason specifically. And it wasn't not long after that Josh came to me and said, I am feeling stirring inside of my heart that I am to fast, to pray. We're to take it up a notch. God is asking us to stand together for some things, not only for this church, but for our family and for some things that are coming. And so we said yes. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is asking all of us, what's next for you? Maybe he's asking you to commit to praying for your neighborhood. Maybe you will go on a neighborhood drive and you will pray over homes with your spouse. Maybe you'll take your children and you'll go over the homes of their friends and you'll pray over their homes. Maybe he is telling you that he wants you to fast. He wants you to fast specifically for the people three doors down. He wants you to fast and pray for the pastors of the churches in Springfield. He wants you to pray for the politicians. He wants you to pray for your family members. Whatever the assignment he might be asking you, I want to tell you, you're not going to regret it, but it's time to ask. Say, what's next, Lord, for me? What am I to do in October? What am I to do in November? What am I to do in December? Because January is coming and it's our all church fast. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. What am I to do now? So if you're here today and you don't know how to pray, ask him. Just say, God, I'm really struggling with praying. Can you help my words form? Can you help my hunger for the word form? I want to be hungry for your word. Can you help me? If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, ask him. You are developing a relationship with him. Ask him. If you need help, ask him. I felt that Josh and I were just to pray over this church. We love this church. We have been here for more than 18 years, and it has been in my heart, and we have prayed for the people of this church. But we believe that God is asking us to step in more. You want to see things change where you're at, ask him what you're to do. And we just want to pray over you today. Can you come up here? So Lord, I thank you that you are calling and speaking to us today. You are moving on our hearts to respond. And God, we say we will. I pray that you make it plain and simple for each person to pray and fast this month. Whatever you're asking them to do, if it's just praying, then God, give them a strategy, give them a plan, and tell them what you want. If it's fasting, God, give the instruction, give the desire, tell them what you want. Tell them how that they are to vest in your relationship with them. Tell them how they are to do what they need to do, God, how they're to pray, who they are to pray for, and when. I pray that you would put it on their hearts, God, and cause their spirit man to rise up and awaken to pursue you like never before, to pursue you more than we did in January, to pursue you more than we did in March, to pursue you more than we did in July, and pursue you more than we did last month. God, we're praying for something new in us today, in Jesus' name.
Could we just lift our hands all over the room together right now? And would you just begin to pray out loud right now? Just the Spirit of the Lord is moving in your heart this morning, I believe, through this message. I just pray for the hunger to rise up. Would you pray out loud with me? I think this is a moment for us to do that. Come on, church, just lift your voices all over the room. This is not by striving. This is not by might. This is not by willpower. This is by the Spirit of the Lord. Just pray in the Spirit, if you would. Intercessors, just begin to just pray out right now. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Come on, church. Could we just lift the sound here for a moment in the family center? Join in with this. Online, maybe you're in your home. Just begin to pray with us right now. We ask for a spirit of prayer, a spirit of desire and longing for Jesus to just increase all over this place. Even right now, I believe that there are those that have been in cycles. You've been in cycles. When Christy said that earlier, I believe that the Lord would say cycles are going to break. Cycles of poverty, spirit of poverty, just mindsets are going to break. Even I saw just cycles in marriages, cycles in just things that you know are not right, not aligning up to what the word of the Lord has said, that are going to shift as you step into the place of prayer, as you step into the place of fasting in Jesus' name. So this is a release. This is not a heavy weight today. This is by the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, church, just lift it up one more minute. Just lift up just thanksgiving for this. We thank you for the spirit of prayer, desire, longing, a longing. Chains breaking in the place of prayer. You're going to go to a new place as you go in prayer. You're going to see things you've never seen before. The Lord is going to lead you in assignments in prayer into places that you have never been before. And you're going to see a breaking off of things. You're going to see the kingdom come. I just see that right now. People are going to be shocked as you step into the place of prayer in increased measure. Things are going to break, even over your family, over marriages, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big shout. A shout. Amen. Praise to the Lord today. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Yeah. All right. This is a good word today, amen. I hope you're encouraged as you leave today. As you quiet yourself later, I believe the Lord's going to give you specific assignments, specific things that he wants you to step into in the place of prayer, and it's going to be so